Pastor Nancy has, and this is out there, I believe, going to be out there after service, some things that God spoke to her about praying for our nation, taking authority, praying for those that are in authority, and all the offices, and asking God to give them wisdom, surround them with the right counsel, and so many things. The word of the Lord would have free course. Unrighteous laws would be overturned. Bind the agenda of socialism, including abortion, and that there would be righteous laws enacted and so forth. So there's so many things, and I want to encourage you to get that. But I want to share something that the Lord put in my heart to add to this, and it gets a little bit more specific. Because there's things I believe that God wants us to say and do specifically. And I'll just tell you what happened that night that I just spoke of, where Satan, that thing came in the room. After I got that thing back out of the room, I said, okay, let's just pray some more for this election, because he doesn't like it. So I got to praying, and some verses started coming up. Some things. You ever had verses come up out of your spirit, and you're like, I know that's in the Bible, but I have no clue where, you know? And so some verses started coming up. In the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. In the name of the Lord. I was praying this. And really, I was praying for the president at this time. And it was coming out in relation to him. In the name of the Lord. It's as if I was saying it for him. In the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. In the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. And I'm like, I know that's in the Bible. I think it's in Psalms. So I got my iPad out, got Olive Tree open, and I opened it up. And I found it. It's in Psalm 118. Just go there for a brief minute before we get into the thing I want to share to this congregation as the sermon this morning. But I opened up my app and I found it, and then I clicked over onto these verses in Psalm 118, and I found those verses. You know, it talks about here. Let's see here. I'm going to have you read after the service. I'm going to have you read the whole psalm, okay? And I'll tell you why in a minute. Because it says in verse number 10, all nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thus they thrust sore at me, that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. That's the homes of the righteous in this land. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Hallelujah. And there's a whole lot in this psalm, but... And I didn't read the whole thing, but I was just reading a couple of those verses just to get the context. In the name of the Lord. He's talking about people, wicked people that were coming after David's the king. He's talking about wicked people coming after him and to destroy his, you know, his reign. And so, you know, I'm just, and then I closed my app and was just meditating on that. And I heard the Spirit say something to me. He said, somebody give Psalm 118 to President Trump to stand on for his second term. It was like that. It was authoritative. It just rang through my spirit. And I thought, I don't know what's in the rest of the psalm other than those verses. So I went back and I read the whole psalm. Oh my goodness. It talks about the mercy of God on the land. And his presidency is the mercy of God on this nation. Amen. It talks about, verse 5. Let's just read some of this. Verse 5, I called upon the name of the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord takes my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. And I'm reading through here. I'm reading, as I open my app back up, I'm reading through here again. This is the middle of the night. And I'm reading through it again, and I'm applying it to the president's second term. And it just comes alive.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
He takes the part with me. How many of you know without the Lord's help that he will not stand? He's not that good. As a man, none of us are. Amen. There have been times, many times, where he should have been taken out. Sometimes because of his own lack of wisdom. Open mouth, insert foot. Now, you've never done that, so you know, we won't talk about anybody else. But you know, anyway, I won't go there. But there's just a lot. Anyway, so but nothing's been able to touch him.
Yeah, true.
Amen.
The Lord's helping him. Said the Lord's helping him. And so the Lord is on, verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I'll not fear. What can man do unto me? I'm telling you, they're trying. The Lord takes my part with them that help me. In other words, he helps them. If you read other translations, the Lord helps them that help me. And boy, has he been doing that. Now, then it's better to trust in the Lord and put confidence in men. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. You can't trust any of that bunch up there. Then he talks about all these people compassing him about in the name of the Lord. He'll destroy them. I believe it's time for him to actually go ahead, pop the clutch, and destroy what is called the deep state. Listen, the Holy Ghost in that prayer time back a couple months ago now, talked about the nest.
Yeah, come on, the nest.
That isn't fully exposed yet.
Come on, that's right. Come on.
But I believe it's in the second term. In the name of the Lord, he's going to destroy that nest.
Yeah.
So, in the name of the Lord, not by his might, not by his power. He doesn't have that kind of wisdom. But in the name of the Lord, he'll destroy them. They thrust sore at him, and the voice of rejoicing will be in the tabernacles of the righteous. Have you ever been so grieved as things that happen in the government? Amen. I mean, so you kind of think of some of them as you just put a quarter in their back and they'll say whatever you want them to say. You know what I'm talking about? No ethics, no integrity, lie through their teeth. So, anyway, so I'm reading down through here and I'm seeing how this applies, and I get through that. The name of the Lord, I'll destroy them. The name of the Lord, I'll destroy them. Rejoicing in the homes of the righteous. And then, I got down here, verse 17. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. I'm telling you, that dark cloud over the first part of this term. Somebody give President Trump Psalm 118 to stand on for his second term. He'll not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. We as the church are responsible to agree with him in that. We're to do verse number 7. Take part. Help them. The Lord will help us if we'll help him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
You know why some church people are struggling? It's because they're against him.
All right. Speak the truth. Come on.
Now, you know I don't get popularity by saying these things.
Yes.
You know, we get Facebook posts. People don't like us.
Yeah.
But that's their problem. It's not my problem they don't know the Holy Ghost. It's not my problem they're listening more to the news media than to God and to the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, you and I, that jumped out at me, verse 17 and 18, concerning his second term. I say, he'll not die, but he'll live and declare the works of the Lord. I believe there's going to be an attempt. They're pulling out everything they've got. I mean, now they're trying to pull out the 25th Amendment. Are you serious? These people are deranged, and it'll be to their destruction. Open me the gates of righteousness, and I'll go into them, and I'll praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me. Thou art become my salvation. Hallelujah. That's what President Trump needs to do, is praise God. Then we too, praise God. The stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Now that's quoted in the New Testament concerning Jesus. But do you remember something that happened in Acts chapter number 4? This is not my sermon. Don't take this off my time. So, in Acts chapter 4, They were persecuted. Remember, the man at the gate called Beautiful was healed in Acts chapter number 3. And then that's at the end of the chapter that happened. And then in chapter 4, it says they commanded him, well, the end of chapter 3, they commanded him not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus, beat him and let him go. And they being let go went to their own company and report all the chief priests and elders said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God and said, Lord, thou art God, made heaven and earth. And they began to pray scriptures. And they're quoting Psalm chapter number 2. Thou art God, made heaven and earth, and the all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? For against the Lord and against his Christ risen up to try to take him out. Well, that prophecy was about Jesus. Yet they're quoting it as it applies to them who represented Jesus. Who against the Lord and against his Christ. How many of you know whenever the people come against the church, they're coming against Jesus? Isn't that right?
Yes, it is.
So this passage in Psalm chapter number 118 here, it says, talking about, this is specific, this is quoted in the New Testament in relation to Jesus, the stone which the builders refuse has become the head of the corner, the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, it's marvelous in our eyes. Jesus is the chief cornerstone of the church.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? And so we know that's where it applies. However, just like they interpreted it about the church in Acts 4, you could interpret this in the relation of the head of this nation. The stone which the builders refused, and have they ever? It's become the head stone of the nation. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. At least people that aren't filled with hate. Ha, ha, ha. He's going to win a second term. Hallelujah. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, from socialism. Oh, I added that. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. That's your assignment, church. Not to curse, bless. God is the Lord, which hath shown us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even the horns to the altar. That's talking about making sacrifice to God. Thou art my God, I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Okay, so that's our assignment. Hallelujah. Let's be even more specific and speak that over this term. You got it? Hallelujah. I don't know who's watching this broadcast. Somebody give President Trump Psalm 118 to stand on in his second term.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So we're going to do it. We'll do our part.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. I don't have access to him. He said somebody, so he didn't say I had to. So we'll get this somehow. I'm saying the church. The church will get this clear, get it to him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
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 You still love Pastor anyhow? I get amazed at the people that get mad. They're more full of the devil than they are the Holy Ghost. Tell your neighbor, I don't know if he's preaching about you, but just keep sucking it up and looking straight forward. How many of you know it's not about a man? A man, all men are frail, all men are weak, all men have faults, all men. Aren't you glad that God's using us and isn't saying, well, whenever they get perfect, he'll use us? Is he using anyone in this congregation? Sure, he's using you. Making you a blessing to others and getting people saved, doing whatever you're doing. Well, are you perfect?
No, sir.
Amen. We know it's not. You're not. We know I'm not. None of us are. David was an adulterer. Isn't that right? Samson was an adulterer. A lot of people are imperfect in the Bible, but God used them. Isn't that good? Amen.
Amen.
So our job is to just hear what the Spirit's saying and agree with it.
Amen.
And to act on it. So let's obey that direction of the Spirit. What do you say? Amen. It's our job to stand on these in the light of these scriptures. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't other things. How many of you know the Lord has given us something even more specific here? But there are other things. This prayer that Pastor Nancy prays, get that. You know the Bible. You know many things in the Bible to be praying. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Did you hear what the Spirit's saying there?
Yes, sir.
Somebody give President Trump Psalm 118 to stand on for his second term. And so we're going to stand on it with him. We're going to help him and stand on that with him. If you brought your Bible this morning, why don't you go to Psalm 145, and we're going to read verses 8 and 9 again. How many of you have been in services lately and been hearing what we've been sharing on? Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. Praise the Lord. It tells us something about God's nature. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious. Hallelujah. Let's pray before we get into the Word. Father, we receive what you have to say to us. We have an open and a hungry heart. All that hunger and thirst today will be filled. Fill us, feed us, nourish us. Give us utterance, give us ears to hear. And Father God, we thank you for deposits of truth within our spirits. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is great. Let's read it out loud if you got King James. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. I'm his workmanship. Are you? I'm his workman. He created all of us as human beings. He created us. That means we're his workmanship. But second of all, we're twice his workmanship because we're born again. And that's his work, his workmanship. So the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. We've been talking about the mercy and the compassion of God. We've been talking about how it's the same Greek and Hebrew words, translated mercy and translated compassion. And so it means the word compassion means to love tenderly. Or to show mercy, to be full of eager yearning, and then also to pity. Amen. So, how many of you know the Lord is tender in His mercy towards His children? He is full of eager yearning for them to have things and be blessed and all the covenant that He's made with them, all those blessings. And so, it's important that we understand the Lord's character when it comes to receiving from God, because you can know His power or have a knowledge of His power, but really faith rises mountain high when you know more than just He's able, but that He's willing. And His willingness is not connected to His power. His willingness is connected to His character, His nature. And we see His nature is that He's gracious, disposed to show favors. And that just means He's leaning that way. Disposed, inclined to be gracious. He's not inclined to be mad and swatch you for mistakes. He's inclined toward mercy. Amen.
Amen.
And so that's where faith, really when you know that, not just maybe mentally, but down deep on the inside. I mean, so far down into your spiritual being that every part of your being knows it. Amen. I mean, your toenails know it. Your eyebrows know it. It's your whole being just knows God is a merciful God.
Amen.
And it's really then whenever that knowledge is deep within you and has registered on your insides that your faith rises mountain high. Hallelujah. Really, it doesn't take any faith to say the Lord's able. It takes faith to say the Lord is gracious. The Lord is full of mercy. The Lord is good to all. Amen. It's not faith in His power that secures His blessings. It's faith in His love, in His character, in His goodness. Hallelujah. And so really Satan's willing that we magnify His power. But really it's when we magnify His mercies that He loves and delights in that. The Bible said He delights in mercy.
Amen.
When we magnify His mercies, like they did over in 1 Chronicles, I don't know if you've ever noticed the sacrifices when they dedicated the temple. They just kept saying, "For the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever." And suddenly the house was filled with the glory of God.
Amen.
That lets you know what will happen if you just keep talking about the mercy of God.
Amen.
There can come times you might have created situations in your own life that created a mess.
Yeah.
Anybody ever done that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done it.
Yeah.
Done it recently. I said, "Lord, You're merciful."
Yeah.
Yes,
and somebody could say, the gall of You crying out for mercy. I mean, You created that situation. You did it to Yourself. You're just going to have to live with it. Well, that's to say He's not merciful. But He is. And He delights in mercy. He delights in it. You know what that means? That means He gets kicks out of it. You know why? Because it gives Him great glory. But I created this myself. I'm just going to have to live with this failure. I did it to myself. Amen. Well, you've lost sight of how merciful He is. You've lost sight of His character. Amen. And God wants you to know that. And in all your dealings, whether it be approaching the enemy, whether it be approaching a mess that you created on your own, whether it be approaching the throne of God, that you come to get mercy. That you see and are conscious of His mercy. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I think this is one of the things that Christians have, one of the greatest needs Christians have. And I say Christians, I'm a Christian. All of us. We need to be constantly bathed and washed from condemnation, a sense of unfaithfulness, a sense of guilt. Now, there's an awareness that you can get within your own spirit that I should have been faithful in that. But that's not condemnation.
Yes.
Satan, though, is what I'm talking about in these voices that come from out here. Yeah, you're just not, God's not pleased with you. He's angry with you. You've come short so many times. You know your faults. You know what you did last night. You know. But see, he wants you to accept something less than what mercy has provided for you. Are you out there? Amen. So Satan doesn't want us to magnify the compassion and love of God. He wants us to magnify God's power. He's fine with us magnifying God's power. Because if we'll magnify God's power, we still don't have any faith to receive it. Because, yeah, he's able, but you know, I've messed up so bad he's mad at me. He won't do me anything. Because I've failed. I've created these messes myself. I'm just going to have to live with my own failure. No, you've lost sight of the mercy of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Mercy is not for perfect people. It's for people that have made mistakes and messed up. Amen. Now, let's just think of some things about the mercy of God. Would that be all right? We're going to get into something here in a minute, but the enemy is always trying to sell you short. He's always trying to get you to accept something less than what God has for you. Are you out there? The enemy is always trying to, he's the accuser of the brethren. He's always trying to accuse you before your God. Meaning, when you go before God, he goes too and says, "Yeah, but you're not worthy. You did this, you did that, and you're such a failure, you know, like compared to everybody else in the church." Well, see, you see him dressed up on Sunday morning. You don't see him in the house whenever they're fussing with their wife.
Come on.
Amen. Let's look at some verses. Lamentation 3, 22 through 23. Because of his mercies we are not consumed, his compassions they fail not, his mercies are new every morning. So his mercies are new every morning. Yeah, you know what you did yesterday. Yeah, I know, but the mercies are new this morning. Mercies are new this morning. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about in various places, Old Testament and New Testament. But I'll give you that reference again in Lamentation 3, 22 through 23. I think some of you might miss that. Lamentation 3, 22 through 23. Lamentation 3, 22 through 23. Did I say that wrong? Okay. His mercies, is because of his mercies, we're not consumed. You didn't realize we'd all be crispy critters if it wasn't for the mercy of God.
Yes, sir.
His compassions fail not. His mercies are new every morning. Then several places in the Bible talks about the sure mercies of David. In other words, the mercy of God is something you can be sure of. We're going to look at some things about the mercy of God, and we're going to build this into your spirit this morning. Because the devil's always trying to steal this from us. But we're gonna hold it, get a better grip on it this morning than we ever have.
Amen.
It calls it the sure mercies of God. What does sure mean? It means certain.
Yeah.
I mean, he wants you to be certain.
Yes.
Of what you're going to meet when you go to the throne of grace. You're going to surely, for it's without doubt, yeah, you're going to encounter the mercy of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Called it the sure mercies of David. That means they're uninterrupted. The Bible calls them from everlasting to everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The Bible said in Psalm 23:6, goodness, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What's he saying? He's saying that's for sure. Certain. It's certain. Now, why is it certain? Well, I'll tell you, number one, it's because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus was an everlasting blood. It is an everlasting blood. It was shed once and for all. No other blood's going to have to be shed. It's an everlasting blood. And if it's everlasting, then the mercy that it secured is everlasting.
Amen. Amen.
Number one, that's why that these things are going to follow us all the days of our life. Number two, the reason it's going to follow us all the days of our life, Micah 7:18. Who is God? Micah 7:18. Who is God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? See, forgiveness is a mercy.
Yes.
Forgiveness is one of the mercies. How many of you know it mentioned here mercies? But one of them is forgiveness. Remember, we've studied that healing is a mercy as well. People in the Gospels cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus healed them, proving that healing is a mercy.
Amen.
So Micah 7:18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy.
Amen.
Delights in mercy. So why is it sure that goodness and mercy are going to follow us all the days of our life? Because he delights in it.
Yes.
I said, because he delights in it.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He delights in mercy. That just means he gets kicks out of it. It brings him great glory. People that have a testimony of the mercies of God, how God delivered them from some sin, some affliction, some bondage, some torment of mind, some bad habit, some bondage of sin, or something like that, they've got a greater testimony than the ones that die and go to hell.
That's right.
Yeah.
Why? Because mercy brings God great glory.
That's right.
Brings God's great glory.
Amen.
Psalm 86:5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Plenteous in mercy. Hallelujah. The Bible calls him in Ephesians 2 rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. Hallelujah. Rich and plenteous. In other words, he's got plenty of supply of it. He's not going to run out of it. But that's not even the good part of this verse. Psalm 86:5. Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Notice that ready to forgive. Ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy. Because he's plenteous in mercy, he's ready to forgive.
That's right.
Say he's ready to forgive.
He's ready.
How many of you know we studied on last Sunday, I believe it was, his eager yearning. His mercy means he's eagerly yearning for something. He yearns to heal more than we yearn to have it. I know that's hard for us to imagine. But that's what the Bible's teaching us. That he's full of eager yearning. Now, that when it says about forgiveness, he's ready to forgive because he's plenteous in mercy. So because he's merciful and because of his compassionate nature, it makes him ready to forgive and bless. In other words, what does that mean? You don't have to talk him into it. He's already ready. Now, why are we going over all these things? We're going to look in a moment why we're going over all these things. Because I'll be honest with you, these things hem the devil in. You get a hold of all the counsel of God's word about His mercies. That they're new every morning. They're sure. Hallelujah. His mercies are... follow us all the days of our life. He delights in mercy. And He's ready to forgive. And He's ready to show mercy. All these things. And we're going to keep going. But it eventually hems the devil in. You got an answer for everything Satan tries to say. Well, he might say, yeah, I know God forgave you, but see, this is really, you played whaley now. This is it. You did it the last time. You're done.
Yeah. Come on.
No, it's everlasting.
Everlasting.
Everlasting. And it's new every morning. See, you can hem the devil in with the knowledge of the Word of God. All right. So, and that I like that. He's ready to forgive. That means you don't have to talk him into it. You know, a lot of times people, Christians go to God, they're trying to talk him into doing something. He's already been talked into it. The blood talked him into it. The blood of Jesus. Hebrews 5:2, Jesus can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. So Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. And so he's a merciful and faithful high priest. He's been here. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He never stumbled. He never sinned, but we have. But he does know what it's like to be under that pressure to sin. So he's merciful and compassionate about that. Amen. That doesn't mean permissive, but he's merciful when he understands he's been there.
Amen.
And he's willing to forgive. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Now, another definition that I got, the Dakes Bible. I don't know if you knew Dakes. Finnish Dake is a Bible. He has a Bible out with many notes in it. He said compassion. Here it says, who can have compassion on the ignorant, on them that are out of the way. Notice there's two categories there. Compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. Ignorant means somebody that doesn't know. You know, people sometimes just don't know, and that's why the devil's taking advantage of them. And he's compassionate towards them. But here's the thing. Dake says this, compassion, and he gives the Greek word here, it means to be moderate or merciful towards. Amen. It means not merely to have compassion, but to act with moderation. In other words, I don't know if you've ever read, the Bible says in James chapter number 2, talking about the mercies of God, he that hath mercy, he that hath judgment without mercy, shall have no mercy. Remember that? In other words, there's judgment. There's such a thing as judgment without mercy. You read in the Old Testament, God speaks about Solomon, and he said, now if he sins, I'll deal with him, but not like I did David. I mean, not like I did Saul, excuse me. Because I will, he will have, for Saul had judgment without mercy. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
There is even mercy sometimes in judgment. Remember the Bible said, whenever somebody keeps on, there in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, that man was living in open adultery. Remember the Bible talked about that man. The Bible said that he was turned over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. Why? That his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. That was the mercy of God.
Yes, sir.
So he wouldn't go to hell.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, it means to be merciful. It means to be moderate towards. Amen. To have compassion, yes, but to deal with situations in moderation. There are situations after situation that I'm just like, God, when are you going to deal with that? I'm talking about politics sometimes. When are you going to do? How long are you going to put up with that? You know why? He's moderate. He doesn't delight in judgment. He delights in mercy. He's trying to give people a chance. Oh my God. You and I would have dealt with it differently. You know what I'm talking about? But it means to be moderate, to act in moderation. It means to bear with each person. This is Dake going on and describing the mercy and compassion of God. It means to bear with each person according to, number one, his ignorance. Number two, his weakness. Number three, his circumstances. Amen. Now, you know as well as I do that one of the reasons we can't be the judge of situations is that we don't know all the time what all God has said to them, what all he has dealt with them about. We don't know how much they don't understand.
Right. Yep.
See, you might look at a situation somebody's going through and God's not dealing with something. You might say, I wouldn't be able to get away with that.
Right.
And that might be the truth. But they can because they don't know what you know. Do you see what that verse said there in Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 2? He has compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. Out of the way means they've turned to their own way. They're in their own, they're doing their own thing, not following the Lord, following their own flesh, doing their own thing, doing their own plan, so forth. Yep. Turned to their own way.
Yep.
Not, you know what I mean?
Yes,
so there's two categories here, the ignorant and them that are out of the way. Some people are just don't know any better. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes.
He has compassion on that. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Somebody said, well, then I just probably would prefer to not know anything from the Bible. Well, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
Right.
You need to get the knowledge of God. But he said it means to have moderation or to bear with each person according to his ignorance, weakness, and circumstances. It means to pity, to feel for, and excuse as far as possible, to be ready to pardon, and when punishment is required, to administer it with gentleness.
Wow.
In other words, moderation.
Yeah.
Boy, have I seen that. Have you seen that?
Yes.
I can tell you stories of people that for 17 years fall, get right. I'm not talking about some little thing. I'm talking about worthy of their spouse divorcing them. According to the Bible. I'm not talking about just according to somebody's getting mad. According to the Bible.
Yeah.
Fall, get right. 17 years. Fall, get right. And I'm thinking the mercy of God.
Amen.
The mercy of
Amen.
God.
Amen.
The mercy of God.
Amen.
And listen, if he delights in it, then we ought not to be having, well, where's the stick? If God's not going to hit him, I'm going to hit him.
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. Amen. Jonah 2:8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. You know, there's a lot of times there's mercy from God, but people forsake it because their attention's on the wrong thing. Observe lying vanities could be a whole lot of things, but one thing it could be, well, the Lord's mad at me. He won't forgive me now. You know the reason some people don't come to God and they go, rather than come back to God, come back to the hot church and have somebody help them and you minister to them, but run out into the world. You know why they do? It's because they think, well, God's mad at me. He won't forgive me. He's done. I've missed it so many times. Amen. And they're observing a lying vanity. Lying vanity. Are you with me? And that's why people forsake their own mercies. It's there, but they forsake it. Amen. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. That's in Psalm 103. Verse 17. It's from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. That means it stretches from one eternity to the other. It stretches from eternity past to eternity future. Listen, we got it made forever. Now, I'm not preaching this morning just living real loose and living real dangerously and living out on the edge. You know, the devil's after people and he'll try to take you out. But yet, right on the other hand, you know, that's not where we're living. I know the congregation. People here aren't living that way. They're endeavoring to walk with God.
Yes.
But sometimes we've messed up. And it's for everlasting to everlasting. Now, one translation says, the Lord, from Psalm 103, verse 17, the Lord, but Lord, your endless love stretches from one eternity to the other. Listen to this. Unbroken and unrelenting. towards those who fear you. Amen. Unbroken and unrelenting. In other words, it's pursuing you.
Hallelujah.
It's after you.
Yeah.
It wants you back.
Praise
Hallelujah. It wants you back into fellowship with God. It wants you back into divine health. It wants you back into soundness.
Yes, that's right.
It wants you back in to everything that Satan stole because you really opened the door to him.
Yeah,
it wants you back to have all that restored.
Yes, hallelujah.
Mercy.
Mercy.
Woo! Mercy.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Unrelenting. It's trying to get you back. It's trying to restore you back.
Yeah.
Woo! I like that. Stretches from one eternity to the other, unbroken and unrelenting. That means there's not a gap in eternity anywhere where God's just not merciful.
Yeah.
Don't get your eyes on what's happening in the nation right now and think, oh, that belongs to me. No, no, no. You can look at all that and get consumed with the news and say, man, God's mad at all of us. You got to know that all throughout the Bible, whenever great destruction came, because they forsook their own mercies, when great destruction came, then there was always somebody that got an exemption. Because they were walking with God and walking all the light and believing for mercy. Noah. You know, all through the Bible, whenever 1,000 fall to the right hand, 10,000 left, it'll not come near me. Why? Well, see how many of you know we've all sinned as well as anybody else. But we're covered with a covenant of mercy. And we use our faith for it. People that don't use their faith for it, they forsake their own mercies. Anyway, these are all good things to keep in mind when it comes to the mercy of God. Psalm 25, verse number 7. Psalm 25, verse number 7. You need to get a hold of this one. You might want to turn to it. Psalm 25, verse number 7. The psalmist speaking. Remember not the sin of my youth. Remember not the sin of my youth. Amen. Nor my transgressions. David had transgressed even as an adult. According to thy mercy, remember thou me. For thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Now think about that. Remember not the sin of my youth, nor the nor my transgression. According to thy mercy, remember thou me. In other words, when you think of me, when God thinks of, this is what he's saying. When God thinks of me, he thinks of his mercy, not of my sin. Hallelujah. So many have the idea when God sees me, he sees somebody guilty. No, no, no. So Hebrews, we read Hebrews, remember, chapter 10, where it talks about thy sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I won't remember them.
Come on.
He won't remember them. He said so.
Right.
You get it under the blood, and it's gone. He doesn't look at you and say, yeah, I remember.
No,
he doesn't remember you according to your sin. He remembers you according to his mercy.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
And he said, thy sins, this song, Hebrews 10, verse 19, verse 18, actually, I think. Thy sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Then he said in verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness.
Amen.
Boldness to come into the holiest.
Yep.
Hallelujah. And to do what? Obtain mercy. Glory to God. Why? Because he's not remembering all that sin.
Yes. Praise God. Praise God.
You know what we've got to do is we've got to learn to forget. Listen, if he cleansed it and forgot it, then it's legal for us to forget it.
Right.
Yeah, but I just want to remember. I don't want to do that again. Don't remember the sin.
No.
Remember, he's so merciful.
Right.
He's so merciful.
Amen.
He's so merciful. From everlasting to everlasting, his mercies are new every morning. He delights in mercy. He remembers not my sin, but he remembers his mercy. Hallelujah. So he's rich in the mercy department, isn't he?
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, there's so much we could get into. We won't take the time to get into all that, but let's go over to Psalm 77, verse number 3 here, and share really what I had on my heart this morning. I know that's a long introduction. Because the Lord, I was meditating on some things the other morning, and the Lord said this to my spirit. He said, and this is true probably for more than just me, it's probably true for all of us, but He said, you need to school your spirit in the mercy of God. Now, what does that mean? School your spirit in the mercy of God. Before we go today, let's look at that. Psalm 77, verse number 3, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. I want you to see the effect of His own words on His own spirit. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. In other words, I just got to thinking about, you know, all the things that others don't experience. I'm going through tests and trials and they're not going through this, and you know, where's God and did He forget me and why is He not hearing my prayer? And blah, 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 blah. Yeah. That's what he means when he remembered God.
Yeah,
I remembered that God said that He was going to do all these things, and I said, well, God's not doing it for me, you know. That, in other words, he started complaining. And notice what it did to his spirit. His spirit was affected by those words. His spirit was overwhelmed. Isn't that right? Well, you might remember John 14 says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You put those two verses together and you could say, well, one thing is, don't talk trouble, don't talk fear. Because if I talk it, it'll affect my spirit. It'll help that. It'll help fear and unbelief and worry to get down on the inside of my spirit. You know, you can be tempted to fear, be tempted to worry, or be tempted to take thoughts of condemnation, or tempted to complain, and don't do it. You can say something else than what you're tempted to say. You can be tempted to say, well, it seems like we never have enough. We're always a day late and a dollar short. You could be tempted to say that, but see, the effect that's going to have on your spirit isn't worth it. So be cautious, guard your lips, because whatever you put in your mouth, you're going to school your spirit into it. You're going to form a belief, because you don't believe anybody's words as much as you believe your own. So the Lord said to me, school your spirit in the mercies of God. So what does that mean? That means talk about the mercy of God all the time. That means just sing about it. Make up songs about it. That means meditate on it. That means go through the house of the Lord's mercies are new to me every morning. The Lord delights in being merciful to me. That they're from everlasting to everlasting. All His dealings with me are Him remembering His mercies. That's the way He deals with me. That's the way He sees me. And His mercy means I have the right to approach the throne of grace, because His blood provided the mercy, and it's there. And just talk about it. Just when you're driving down the road, talk about His mercy. Talk about the blood. Sing about it. Meditate on it. All those things are found in the Psalms. The psalmist said he meditates on the mercies of God. He sings of the mercies of God, Psalm 89:1. He talks of the mercies of God, Psalm 118:2. He rejoices in it, Psalm 31:6. He gives thanks for it, Psalm 136, over and over and over and over and over again, Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever.
Amen.
So he meditated in it all the time. Psalm 26:3, thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. I have walked in thy truth. What does it mean? It is before my eyes. I don't lose sight of it. I don't let the mercy, the fact that God's merciful and God's compassionate and He's tender and with tender yearning towards me and having me having this blessing, I'm believing Him for, that means that I don't lose sight of that.
Yeah.
I keep that in my spiritual consciousness.
Amen.
You know what I mean by the spiritual consciousness? You're more aware of that on the inside than you are of all your faults and all the accusations of the devil out here. Are you with me? Thank Him for it all the time. Sing songs about it. Talk about it. Meditate on it. Hallelujah. Don't let it out of your sight. Listen, when you face trouble and when you face situations that you have no recourse in, if you've lost sight of the mercy of God, you're going to say, I'm done. I'm through. I'm done. It's over.
Yeah.
I'm bankrupt.
Yep. Come on.
I'm dead.
Yep. Come on.
The doctor said.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
6 weeks.
Yep.
That's it.
Come on.
If you lose sight of the mercy of God, then you're going to fail.
Yeah. Right.
But if you don't lose sight of the mercies of God, even if you're in that situation because of your own doing, you can repent and say, Father, I'm schooling my spirit in your mercies. And you can turn and get mercy and get out of that situation. Glory be to God. I'm preaching myself happy. Praise the Lord. So back in Psalm 77:3, he spoke anxiety, he spoke complaining, he spoke all those things, and it served to school his spirit in it. He really established anxiety within his own spirit, and it just overwhelmed him. You ever wanted to quit and give up? Just don't show up, everybody, and you want to change phone numbers, you want to change addresses, you want to move, nobody knows you, nobody knows where you went. I'm just done, I'm quitting. I'm going out into somewhere and I'm going to be where nobody knows me. Nobody, you ever wanted to quit like that? That's overwhelm. You schooled your spirit in it. Amen. Now, go to Proverbs chapter 3. He said there, how many of you know if this will work in the negative, Psalm 77:3, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed, this will work in the positive. Proverbs 3, verse number 3. Got to get a hold of these verses. These next two are some of the most important in the service. Proverbs 3, verse number 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. In other words, don't let it get away from you. In other words, the awareness of it. Don't forget it. Don't let it slip. Don't let it, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. He's talking about I don't know if you ever read the Old Testament. Over and over, God said, let them be as, he talks about in Deuteronomy, speak of my word when you rise up and sit down and so forth. He said, write them upon thy hand and upon thy doorpost, and may they be as frontlets between thine eyes, you know. And he's talking about put it on display where you see it all the time.
Right.
Where you're always reminded of it.
Yes.
And that's what he's talking about. Don't forget the mercy of God.
Yes.
Don't forget the mercy of God. He said, don't let them forsake thee. He said, bind them about thy neck. That means, keep it right close where you're always conscious of it. Like a trinket around your neck or something. And he said, write them upon the table of thine heart. Write them. Say that out loud. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Well, how am I? What kind of pen do I use? Psalm 145, verse number 1. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer.
Yeah.
So write them with the tongue on the table of your heart. Write them on your heart. Now, go to Proverbs 15, verse number 2. These are verses you need to get a hold of. Proverbs 15, verse number 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, or the right way. But the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. What's the right way to use the knowledge you come to church and get from the Bible? What's the right way to do? What's the right way to handle that? The right way to handle that is to write that knowledge on the table of your heart. Take it and begin to say it. Are you with me? I said, are you with me? He said, a wise man does this. Amen. A wise man doesn't leave church and say, that was good, but that's over. A wise man says, okay, now the work has just begun. The difference between people whose lives change as a result of the knowledge they get in our services and the ones whose lives just stay the way they always have been is what they do with that knowledge they get in the heart, they get in the service. Those whose lives change take the knowledge they get and they write it on the table of their heart with their tongue. To them, when the service is over, they've got something now they've got to do with that knowledge. The labor to enter into the rest of faith, like Pastor Debbie was preaching, is not over when the service is over. It's just begun. It's just begun. Hallelujah. I'm going to now keep that before my eyes. I'm not going to just heard it and left and forgot it. I would say 90% of what is preached here is heard and forgotten. We got to not let it slip.
Yes, sir.
Maybe not quite that high. Maybe that's a little exaggeration. But a lot of it. Too much of it.
Yes,
we've got a job to do when we go and hear the Word of God. Amen. And that is say, all right, now. I took that scripture down. I wrote that down. Now I'm going to go back over that. Or I'm going to go back to that audio and I'm going to listen to that. Or something. And I'm going to meditate on that. I'm going to get a hold of that verse. And I'm going to take the... I'm going to dip the pen of my tongue in that word.
Yep. Yep.
And then I start writing that on my heart. The mercies endure forever. The devil said, no, you're done. No, the mercies of God endure forever. He will not remember me according to my... Well, the devil said, yeah, but he remembers everything you did. He will not... See, everything we just shared, you got to use it as a weapon.
You
got to use it as a weapon. But if you don't have the belief of it on the inside of you yet, if you haven't schooled your spirit into that belief... then you can't use it as a weapon. In fact, whenever the devil comes, you won't even have it in your arsenal, so to speak, because it wasn't written on your heart, so to speak. Are you out there? So let's apply that truth to his compassion. What are we to do with all this knowledge we've been getting about the compassion of God? We're to write that on the table of our hearts. And do you know whenever it's written there, it'll start talking to you? And rather than when the devil says something, something will rise up out of you to answer that.
Yes. That's right.
But whenever you haven't taken it and written it on your heart, you haven't meditated on it and hadn't absorbed it into the very fiber of your spiritual consciousness, and you haven't done all that, when the enemy comes, you'll just say, oh, I did you.
Yeah, come on.
Start crying.
Yeah.
It's not real. You didn't hold fast to it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The words you speak right on your heart. Now, you got to go through all that again. I mean, I won't go through it again, but you go through those verses. Proverbs 3:3, Proverbs 15:2, Psalm 45:1, and all these verses. That's how you take knowledge that you get and you write it on the table of your heart. I've meditated on the mercy of God over the last couple of weeks concerning... I injured my back. Some of you knew that. And I've meditated on that to where I've got a hold of the mercy of God. I got a hold of it.
Yeah.
I've never had something try to linger so long, but I've never been more tenacious than I have. And said, I got a hold of it. I got a hold of it. He's merciful. Yeah, but you did it to yourself. He's merciful.
He's merciful.
He's merciful. The mercies of God are new every morning. Ooh, glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Don't speak your feelings. Don't speak your unworthiness or the lies of the devil or thoughts or suggestions that come to you about failing. Amen. Don't speak thoughts that God doesn't accept you or accept you to come and boldly obtain. Don't speak thoughts that or accept thoughts that says he'll reject your prayer. Don't take thoughts of condemnation. Speak the truth that you want to believe.
Yes.
But I don't believe it yet. Well, start schooling yourself into the belief. I said start schooling yourself into the belief. As you do so, you'll school yourself right into a spirit of faith. You don't wait for somebody else to school you. You go ahead and sign up for that course yourself. Said, I'm going to sign up for the mercy course. I'm going to get my schooling in the mercy of God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I mean, God's even given us some courses for help get you started on it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You school yourself into the belief you want. Something can be true, but your heart not be established in it. I don't know if you've ever read, there's a verse in Hebrews, let me find it here. It talks about in Hebrews 13:9, Be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats. In other words, you know, don't eat that, don't eat this, you got to keep the law, don't eat those things, and so forth and so on. It's a good thing that the heart be, don't be carried away with strange doctrines. It's a good thing that the heart be established with grace.
Yes.
So, you can get your heart established in something, and it's not even true. You can be convinced the Lord's mad at you, and it not be true.
Amen?
And your heart's established in it. But even though it's true, since your heart's not established in it, it won't benefit you. The truth won't benefit you. Amen. Your heart can lay hold of something, it can't lay hold of something that you aren't established in and that you aren't assured of. See, you need to be constantly reassured. I need to be constantly reassured. There's no need of man greater than to be reassured.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, my wife taught me that. We all need to be reassured. You know, it's like the guy said, well, I married you, I told you I loved you, you know, and I thought you'd remember that. No, that's not enough. We need to be reassured.
Yes, thank you.
Right.
Wives need to be reassured. Over and over and over again. And that's... Yeah, and whenever the reassurance is communicated and imparted,
Come on.
I've learned this about my wife. She blooms like the flower in the spring sunshine.
Come on.
That has been through a long, dreary, cloudy winter. Amen. But I reassure her and tell her I love her and do something like bring her flowers or something. Yeah. Woo, just makes all the difference. And we all need that. Listen, guys, I don't care how big and burly you are. You need it in your spirit. You need it in your spirit. You need it from God. And it's available. Get in that word. Get in His presence and let Him just communicate it to you and reassure you and get yourself established and schooled in the goodness and compassion and love and mercy of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Until your heart can lay hold of it. To where you actually believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. And the devil said, no, but you created it yourself. You did it to yourself. No. I'm assured of the mercies of God. My heart is established in the mercies of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't know God by feelings or experiences in this world. You can only know Him through His Word. So get to know Him in His Word and get reassured. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Feed compassion and the mercy of God into your spirit until your spirit is schooled into it. Amen. And is established in that rather than condemnation. You'll be surprised. I was surprised at some condemnation that I was living under. I just started schooling my spirit in this the last couple of weeks, and I realized I've been under condemnation about that. Didn't even see it till I started schooling myself in the mercies of God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the helper. And listen, you can't receive something that you feel condemned and unworthy to receive of because you know. Amen. You have to wash some of these old things out. A lot of times before the right things can get in, the wrong things have got to be washed out. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So keep these things before your eyes until your spirit gets established in them. What does it mean to school yourself in the mercy of God? That means your heart and mind become filled with that knowledge, the knowledge of God, rather than what sense knowledge, feelings, and experiences down here in this natural world have schooled your spirit into. The knowledge of His compassion will become, what does it mean when we say school your spirit into it? We're talking about the knowledge of His mercy and His compassion becomes real to you, dawns on you, and registers upon your spiritual consciousness. I don't know if you know what that means or not. In other words, you carry that sense about you all day long. There's a phase of this that you're aware of it when you're meditating on it. But until that inner picture, that inner image goes with you for the rest of the day, you still need to be further schooled into it. When you're fully schooled into it, all day long.
Yes.
Oh, I'm under the mercy covenant. I'm under the mercy covenant. That picture, that image, the vision of it doesn't leave. Oh, glory to God. And when you approach circumstances and situations, when demons appear, I'm talking about things that I've experienced, then you know that you're under His mercy. And you don't approach it like, oh, why is God letting this happen to me? I've failed so many things. I guess He's mad at me. You don't go down that rabbit hole. You stay up, no, His mercies are over me. And you're conscious of that. And then when you approach God, your heart and your mind is full of that knowledge. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Your heart can be established in something that's not actually true.
Yeah.
Amen. You can be completely convinced of something. Completely convinced. I've missed it too many times. God's mad at me. God won't hear my prayer. You know what I'm talking about? I just have to live with this. I messed up.
Yeah.
You can be completely convinced of it, but it not be true.
Right.
Amen? You can be looking around at 2020 and think God's just forsaken America. He's mad at America. But it's not true.
Right.
America's brought some things on herself.
Yeah.
But listen, even whatever they brought on them, that doesn't apply to you and I.
Right. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And that's the fact is, over America right now, He's full of eager yearning. Full of eager yearning. Tell your neighbor He's full of eager yearning. Not just a little bit. He's full of it. Full of eager yearning. Amen. And His mercies and His compassions, they fail not. You know, people say sometimes, well, God doesn't soon judge America. He's going to have to repent to Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you know He couldn't find 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah? It wasn't about Sodom and Gomorrah. It was about what's the church going to do? And there are multiplied tens of thousands of believers saying, Lord, have mercy on our nation. Amen. Hallelujah. And He delights in mercy. Hallelujah. Get any other thought or any other feeling or any other sense of unworthiness out of you. Wash it out with the washing of the water of the Word. Meditate in these things until you believe that He'll hear your prayer just as much as if Jesus was praying this.
Amen.
He'll hear your prayer just as much as if Billy Graham's not here anymore, but if Billy Graham was praying, asking God for this. If my holy grandma, who doesn't seem to have a sin ever in her whole life, if she was praying, God would hear her. But me, oh, I don't know. No, get all that washed, all that sense of unworthiness washed out until you know that He'll hear you just as much as He'll hear anybody.
Amen.
And you know, you could be the only one standing in the gap for this nation, and He'd hear you just as quick as He would hear anybody else.
Amen.
That's the kind of sense of worthiness that He wants all of us to walk in. Boldness in the throne of God. Some of you might hear me talking about some of the things God's used us for in this nation and so forth, and you might think I'm thinking I'm the only one. Well, you ought to think you're the only one.
Amen.
That's the kind of place I have with God. I have that kind of place.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
If you were the only one, would God hear you?
Yes.
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 Oh yeah. Hallelujah. I've been just going over this. He that believeth shall not be ashamed. That's another one God gave me. He that believeth shall not be, I'll not be ashamed in this situation. I'll not be ashamed. I'll not believe you and come up empty handed and be ashamed. That won't happen. That can't happen. Can't happen. All who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you won't cast me out, you won't cast my prayer out, because my prayer is based on the authority of your word. This was your idea, not mine.
Yeah.
And you're a merciful and compassionate high priest.
Yes.
And I'm calling for mercy.
Yes.
Yes,
yes
we are.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And you just school yourself into it to where you walk like John Wayne. You know what I'm talking about? Settle these things. Get all that other stuff washed out. Get this established down into your spirit in these truths of His mercy and His compassion. Amen. Get your heart established in it, and faith will rise mountain high.
Amen.
I mean, you know, you just believe that if God doesn't hear anybody else, He'll hear me.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Just bask in this, like I said, till your heart opens up like a flower in the spring sunshine that's just come through a long, cold, dreary, cloudy winter. I mean, we all ourselves come out of the houses in the springtime and the sun shines. Whoa! You're going to get me a suntan today after that long winter. I mean, soak in that light of His mercy and His love until, I mean, you get a suntan of mercy. You know what I'm talking about? What happened to you? You're different. Yeah, I got a mercy suntan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to a few things and then we'll wrap this up. The confession of your lips creates the reality of God's word within your own spirit more than anybody else's lips. You're the most conscious of what you say. Your words dawn on your spiritual consciousness through your confession of it. Or excuse me, the word of God dawns on your spiritual consciousness. Just keep saying it. Somebody said, well, I don't even believe it yet. Well, so what? Meditate in it. Part of meditation is confessing. Remember, meditate therein means to mutter day and night. Just keep muttering it. Just keep saying it. Just keep saying it until you school yourself into the belief you want to have. Don't wait to get some belief by osmosis. You decide, I want the beliefs of the Bible. I want to believe the right things.
Yeah.
So I'm going to school myself in this. Don't wait for somebody else to come along and hit you with a believing stick. I believe in the mercies of God. Hallelujah. No, you school yourself into it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You continue to be conscious of His benefits by blessing the Lord for them. Remember Psalm 103, bless the Lord, don't forget all His benefits. Keep on talking about it. Keep on talking about it. The effect on your words of your words on your own spirit will be awesome.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what really dominates your inward man, is what you keep saying.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
That's why you're overwhelmed, because you just keep saying, I'm just so busy. I'm just so busy. I'm always so busy. See, you schooled your spirit into that.
Yeah.
And that's why you're always overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Amen. Your words will bolster or whip the faith within your own heart. It'll bolster it up, strengthen it, reinforce it. Reinforce a belief that He's a merciful God and His mercy is following me day in and day out. Goodness and mercy. Or to whip it by saying, I don't know. God must have forsaken me. He's not answering my prayer. Amen. You just whipped your own faith. Your words of faith will cause faith to grow in you in power. Nothing feeds or strengthens faith like your own words. Amen. Hallelujah. You might not even believe the words you're speaking. But just school yourself into it.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. The effect of your words on your own lips, the effect of your words on the adversary, the effect of your own words to usher you into the presence of God, the effect of your words is amazing.
Amen.
In fact, sometimes there's no other form of transportation into or out of something except the words you speak. You just got to start speaking something, and that'll be a way of transporting you into something or getting you out of something. Amen. Just keep saying it. Just keep saying it. You want to be more conscious of the mercy of God? Just keep saying it. Amen. You can encourage yourself in the Lord. You ever remember the Bible saying that? You can encourage yourself. Well, there's nobody to encourage me. Well, why don't you encourage yourself? 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. David encouraged himself. They were talking about killing him. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And because he did, he won a great big victory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 You can see yourself as unworthy of healing, unworthy because of all your failures, because you're not conscious of the mercies of God. Or you can school yourself into what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And you end up in a place where your spirit just opens up and it drinks it in, takes it right in, and receives, even though the devil said, "You're not worthy." You say, "Yes, I am. I got the word in me now. I schooled myself right into believing it." Hallelujah. 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 We at the services, that the church services, are here to feed you the Word of God. But there's a way to nourish your own spirit with that Word the rest of the week. Just keep nourishing and keep building that confidence in that and reassuring yourself in the Word of God. Just let God take those words that we share on Sunday morning and reassure you with them.
Yes.
Make you certain of them.
Yes.
Amen.
Don't give the devil a chance to rob them from
right.
you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You and I do that, the devil won't be able to take anything from us.
Amen.
He won't be able to rob us of our health.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
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 I decided I want God to have great glory in my life.
Amen.
I want to have testimonies where people just say, "Goodness and mercy is following him." And I'll just say, "Yeah, he loves me. He loves
Amen.
Me. See, you know, somebody can love you and you not believe it.
Yeah.
We've got to believe it. Amen.